Turkey?
Check. Potatoes for mashing? Check. Marshmallows for the yams? Yeah, okay. Cranberries? Check. Sufficient chairs and forks for all the guests? Check. Seating arrangement so that you-know-who doesn't have to sit next to you-know-who? Yep, it's that time of year again. This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, "Always and for everything, give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." And it is, you know, more of a commandment than it is a suggestion. As Catholics, giving thanks is a daily obligation. "No duty is more urgent," said St. Ambrose, "than that of returning thanks." The Holy Mass itself is the Eucharist, a word taken from the Greek word Eucharistai, thanksgiving. Having said that about daily thanks, it's also good and wise to set aside specific days or seasons to give thanks. The blessings we enjoy day to day as Americans are unprecedented in history. And yet so often, rather than reflecting gratitude back to God, we quietly think, "So, what have you done for me lately?" I asked Wyoming Catholic College President Dr. Glenn Arbery to reflect a bit about gratitude in the spiritual life, the life of the college, and in literature. Dr. Arbery, if you were to design a curriculum around the theme of Thanksgiving, what would you have your students read?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, as I think over the curriculum at Wyoming Catholic College, with that in mind, it strikes me that it's not so much a matter of putting new things in as of emphasizing that theme as it emerges in most of the great books that we read. The students start with the Bible, which is obviously, you know, full of so much to be thankful for, the whole gift of creation. You know, what they read in the ancient Greeks and the Romans and all the way up through Dante all has this theme of gratitude in it. And it all centers on the idea of the gift, what a gift is, and what there is to be thankful for. So, I mean, that's one direction I would take with that. You know, when we were talking about this earlier, it struck me that a great counter passage to Thanksgiving, and really an interesting sort of zeroing in on what Thanksgiving is, comes from Satan in Milton's Paradise Lost. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just read a little passage of that.
By all means.
Because this is when Satan first gets to Eden. He's escaped from hell, you know, this very difficult passage out of hell. He swims through chaos and finally comes upon this new universe that God has made since the rebel angels were cast out of heaven. And Satan comes to this new paradise, you know, Eden, and he's just about to see Adam and Eve and be struck almost dumb with wonder at their beauty. But he's thinking here about how he could have stayed faithful to God. And it's one of those moments in Paradise Lost when you see him really close to a true repentance. Let me just read a few lines here. He's thinking of how he rebelled against God. He said, "He deserved no such return from me, whom he created what I was in that bright eminence, and with his good upbraided none. Nor was his service hard. What could be less than to afford him praise, the easiest recompense, and pay him thanks? How due, yet all his good, proved ill in me and wrought but malice. Lifted up so high, I stained subjection, and thought one step higher would set me highest, and in a moment quit the debt immense of endless gratitude, so burdensome, still paying, still to owe. Forgetful, what from him I still received, and understood not that a grateful mind, by owing, owes not, but still pays at once, indebted and discharged." So it's a kind of wonderful if you can follow the Miltonic English, it's a wonderful reflection on what gratitude is. I think a lot of people, when they think about having to give thanks, they think of that debt immense of endless gratitude. How am I ever going to pay this off? Whereas Satan rightly sees that to be grateful is already to pay the debt, you know, to by owing, you owe not. And it's that attitude of thanks, I think he sees in this passage, and that gives us a kind of clue to what real thanksgiving is about.
It's interesting, as I was reflecting on it, the sort of contrasts in literature, in Crime and Punishment, Raskolnikov, it seems to me, is, among other things, is characterized by an utter lack of thanksgiving for anything. His mom and his sister are just bending over backwards and going into poverty and doing without so they can send him some money. And he has no gratitude toward them, as opposed to Sonia and his college buddy.
Razumikin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Raskolnikov is of the devil's party, you could say, in this regard. He thinks of what his mother does as a kind of obligation incurred. So to have to be thankful means he has to somehow pay her back with his own indebtedness. And he sees that as buying into everything she believes. So, you know, if he's thankful to his mother, my gosh, the next thing you know, he'd have to be thankful to God or something like that. So, you know, in order to sever yourself from the whole attitude of thanks, you can't let on that you might owe anybody anything. And that seems to be in some ways a characteristic modern trait.
Well, I was going to ask you, in his most recent book, The Day is Far Spent, Robert Cardinal Serra comments that the spiritual ailments of the West, including the church in the West, stems from a lack of thanksgiving.
I think that's beautifully said. And what does it mean? It means, first of all, that people have forgotten God. I think Cardinal Serra is dealing with what Nietzsche calls the death of God, you know, which is another way of putting ourselves in a position where we don't have to offer thanks for our own being. We do not give being to ourselves, and yet it's very easy to forget that if you just make a certain mental shift. And I think that's a characteristic one in the modern world. There are a couple of beautiful books on gifts that I would recommend. One of them is by Lewis Hyde. It's just called The Gift. And in it, Hyde talks about what he calls the labor of gratitude, which is how you respond to being given something. That it's not easy to accept the truly important gifts, such as the ones that were enumerated in today's gospel at Mass, which are about, you know, the parable of the king, you know, who comes back and he's given all these people certain, you know, amounts of money, and what have they done with it? There's a way that you respond to the gift by making it real, and that's one of what Hyde calls the labors of gratitude. Another great book on this is very difficult to read, but extremely rewarding. It's by the French philosopher Jean-Luc Marion, and it's called Being Given. It's a profound kind of phenomenological meditation on the fact that being itself is given to us. And this is, I think, what Cardinal Serra is getting at. We've forgotten in the modern world that we're not self-made, that we, in our technological universe, still owe the very fact of our existence to something that's very much outside our control.
The other dyad I thought of from literature was Starbucks and Ahab. You know, Starbuck and Ahab.
Right. You're trying to get the coffee in there, weren't you? Right.
You know, Starbuck is saying, we had a ship full of oil, let's go home and right. Cash in. Yeah. And Ahab won't let it be.
No, Ahab is another characteristic modern in that regard. Far from seeing himself as given, he sees himself as being deprived in advance of something that he didn't get. Another characteristic trait of those who turn against the whole demeanor of gratitude. Yeah, he's trying to attack God. He wants to get back at him for what's happened to him. Whereas Starbuck is accepting and sees his life as a gift, and Ahab can only see it as something stolen.
Now, are there ways that we try to encourage an attitude of thanksgiving among our students here?
Well, we certainly encourage them to understand the education that they're receiving as a gift. This is not a contractual thing that we're talking about. These works so far exceed all of us in their wisdom that there's a surplus. You know, you can say, yes, I paid my money and I got this education, but what you're receiving so far exceeds what you pay for, so to speak, that you have to understand it in terms of the gift. And that's the attitude that we try to instill, that this sort of greatness, the givenness of the wisdom that they're receiving is something for which all of us need to be grateful and give thanks. We have this terrific, this wonderful, profound tradition that's been handed down to us and that we receive through a labor of gratitude.
Are there any things in particular this Thanksgiving time that you're grateful for?
Well, I'm grateful that this college is doing so well, that we have such wonderful students and faculty and staff. I'm grateful, on the more particular note, that my son Will and is coming home for Thanksgiving, and my youngest daughter Monica, who after long illness was healed these last 2 years and married this past summer. Much to be grateful for.
Country legend Willie Nelson said, "When I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around." That is, counting your blessings is just good, down-home, and very human wisdom, which just happens to have sound psychological research behind it. As Arthur Brooks wrote several years ago in the New York Times, quote, "Evidence suggests that we can actively choose to practice gratitude and that doing so raises our happiness," close quote. And as Cardinal Sarah suggests, we may also be raising the happiness of those around us as we swim against the slothful and ungrateful tide of our current Western culture. Wishing you and yours a most joyful Thanksgiving. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.